plenty of fireworks to be expected from UFC 81. Of course, you have Nogueira, Silva, Lesnar, Mir. One of the fights we're really looking forward to, Marvin the Beastman Eastman against Terry Martin. And we've got Marvin joining us here in Jerry Park to talk about the upcoming fight, his career, and everything else going down in the life of the Beastman. Marvin, what's going on?
Nothing much, bro. Just doing my thing. Just got finished training, so headed back to the house, man, just to rest up a little bit before I got to run later on tonight and lift. So I'm good, though. And you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. That's actually the first time a fighter has asked us how we're doing. So I appreciate the I appreciate you asking. So how has the training been going for Terry? I mean, this guy is a very similar build to you. A lot of people like to call him a mini Mike Tyson. He's got that powerful punch. How has everything been going as far as training for him?
Man, you know, I'm training is fine. You know what I'm saying? I'm in good shape, and cardio is always good. So, you know, we just training normal. Like I said, you know, I train for him like I train for Quentin, like I train for everybody else. You know what I'm saying? And you know, everybody that fights in the cage is dangerous. So I don't put less importance on this guy than anybody else. You know, but it's going fine so far. Like I said, you know, you catch me on the end of training, so energy level is not at peak right now, you know, after about 4 hours, but I'm okay, you know, I'm good.
No, you sound mellow, you sound ready and prepared to fight Terry. So who are some of the guys that you've been working with in the last couple of months to get ready for this bout?
You know, we got a whole bunch of teammates, you know, Roy Nelson, which is just won the IFL Heavyweight Championship, big Eric Pele, you know, and I got some other guys that's in my gym that's been going with me, you know, just give me some different body types. You know, like I said, just changing it up, you know, but for me, man, like I said, it's just, you know, stay on my P's and Q's and, you know, adding some little wrinkles to the things that I already do, you know, and, you know, obviously putting in some things that worked before that I have been like lacking, you know, or not utilizing. But you know, a lot of it for me has been, you know, fighting in different organizations. They use, you know, other organizations, you know, fight with the vinyl surface, and UFC use that canvas surface like boxing. You know, and you're just real slippery, and it's not really made for my style. I stay on my toes and I move a lot, but it's just so slippery that it just kind of makes me have to change my style. You know, when I fight on that vinyl and it grips my feet, you know, I'm just so explosive and so quick, you know, so this surface slows me down a little bit. But you know, I guess it is what it is. You just adapt to what that's who I'm under contract with, so that's who I gotta fight with, so I just gotta make the adjustments that I need to be successful, you know.
Have you put in a request to maybe have the surface change for when you fight?
Hey man, I'm small potatoes. They ain't gonna listen to me. Shit, you know. I mean, you think about if Krokop came in, they paid all that money for him, and he was slipping all over the place, and then St. Pierre lost his title the first time, slipping all over the place.
Right.
Matt Serra own it. You know, they're not going to change it. Most of those guys, they fight on they fight flat-footed. And, you know, I'm a wrestler, but also, you know, kickbox, K1, and, you know, professionally. So, you know, and all, everything that we do is on our toes, you know, and that surface is not really made for you to fight on your toes, on the balls of your feet, you know, to make you explosive. So it makes you fight flat-footed, and in turn, it makes you a little bit slower. So, you know, so I had to make some adjustments, you know, and just try to adapt to the surface and just do the best that I can, you know. I guess everybody has to fight on it, so I guess I can't really act like I'm at a disadvantage because everybody has to fight on it, you know. So, but, you know, like I said, I'm just looking forward to the fight and you know, getting, you know, I got this UFC jinx or something, man, but I'm looking forward to rectifying that, you know, going in there and having a good fight. You know, against a pretty pretty good opponent, you know?
You know, you're coming off the eye surgery, which, you know, obviously you're healed now. Would you say you're 100%, though? Because obviously you're 100%.
100%, man. You know, my eyes is more important than any fight, any money. You know what I'm saying? And that wouldn't even jeopardize it to put myself in a situation if my eye wasn't right. You know, it was a genetic something that had just occurred. It wasn't from getting hit or anything. It was just a genetic thing from wearing glasses for a long time. The cornea was kind of in the retina, and everything was kind of, you know, really concave because of wearing glasses for so long and having a astigmatism. So I just had a weak spot in there, and, you know, one day I kept seeing a little black spot, and I just couldn't figure out what it was. So I just went to the doctor, and it told me I had a little tear in my retina. So, you know, obviously that canceled my fight at my first fight at 185 against Damian Maia. And, you know, it's no problem because, obviously, you know, had I not went and had it checked out, you know, I could have injured it more, you know. So it's healed. It's fine. I just had it checked out again. And obviously the Nevada Boxing Commission is not going to allow you to pass a medical without, you know, having a full clearance, you know. So, and I've already done that. I've been cleared. My medicals is fine, and I'm ready to go. There's nothing wrong with me.
You mentioned that, you know, you were going to make your debut at 185 before UFC 77, your fight against Damian. Why the decision now to go down to 185 at this point in your career?
It's not even so much that. I mean, when I'm lifting every day and, you know, I walk around and, you know, I'm 5'9", 215, 218, and I don't carry, you know, body fat really. You know, it's easy for me to get massive, but I'm 5'9", you know, and, you know, but when I start, you know, conditioning for the fights, you know, my weight drops very, very easily. And, you know, when you get in the kind of condition that you need to get into for a 3 or 5 round fight, you're gonna lose some muscle mass, you know, and my weight gets down very easily. You know, I walk around, you know, when I fought last fall, Quentin, I was at 200 pounds, you know, and I can eat what I want and do what I want, but I'm 5'9". Them guys, they walk around at 218, 219, I mean, 220, 230. I mean, Forrest gets all the way up to 245, you know, so, but he's 6'2". So, and, you know, and you know, he packs around some body fat, you know, so their guys are really, really big, but I'm not 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", I'm 5'9". So, you know, I'm at a disadvantage when I, you know, they make weight and the next day they rehydrate back up and they're 220, 225, you know, and I'm still walking around at 204, 205 because I don't pack any body fat, you know. So I'm at a disadvantage. I don't worry about anybody strength-wise, hell. I mean, you ain't going to get no stronger than Quentin. And, you know, I mean, he picks up everybody and slams them, but, I mean, I'm a wrestler, so I ain't worried about nobody trying to slam me. I ain't worried about anybody weight-wise, you know, strength-wise. Believe me, I'm strong as anybody in the 205 division. But leverage and height is a disadvantage for me. I'm just you know, I don't have the height. So, you know, I said to hell with it. I might as well go. You know, my manager's saying you go down to 185, rehydrate back up, fight time. You fight at 200 pounds, you know, you do what these other guys are doing to you. And I never really thought about it because I hadn't cut weight in years, you know. And I was like, hell, I did that in wrestling. I don't want to cut no more weight, you know. But then when I realized how very easy it is, you know, I make the 185 and, like, you know, you lose a little bit of mass, but I still stay ripped up and strong and just rehydrate up, you know, with IV. And, you know, fight time, I come in 199, 200 pounds, so I'm 15, no pounds overweight, like the guys that I fight at 205 do to me, and, you know, and can have a significant advantage. And plus, you know, I'm packing the strength of a heavyweight. So, you know, I'm a little bit more more to deal with at that weight. You know, like I said, more people, you know, with the exception of Kendall Grove and Anderson Silva, I mean, look at Dan Henderson. You know, he's not 6 foot, you know, and all those guys are, you know, they're in the under, you know, 6 foot category, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit easier for me. And hell, I mean, keep it real. Ain't nobody at 185 that I fear at all. You know, I done fought the top of the, you know, the cream of the crop. Quentin is top of the food chain right now. You know, we went a couple of rounds, but, you know, he went 30 seconds with the guy who had the belt for, you know, 6 or 7 fights, you know, so, and knocked him out, you know, in 90 seconds. So I don't fear nobody to put on gloves, you know. But like I said, Quentin is top of the food chain right now, so I respect him. He's my man, you know, and he deserves everything he got coming. But, hell, if I ain't scared of him, why the hell would I be scared of anybody at 185? Dan Henderson, Anderson Silva, any of them guys, please.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, that's probably the division that's the most wide open in the UFC, and, you know, from where we sit, great decision on your part to go down there, especially given all the reasons you were talking about your size and how you are one of the strongest guys in the UFC. And this is going to be an interesting bout for you because Terry Martin, same height as you, 5'9", and both of you,
yeah,
like I said, big, strong guys. Were you able to watch his last fight at the UFC Fight Night in September? He went up against Chris Lieben, suffered a knockout in the third round when, for a while, it seemed as though he was the guy controlling the bout, a devastating loss for him. But that said, wanted to get your thoughts on that fight and just, you know, Terry Martin in general.
And, you know, like I said, you know, I respect everybody in the game. I don't do that smack talking. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to knock out this. And, you know, and like I said, Chuck is my man. But, you know, everybody's, I'm going to knock out. Everybody, you ain't going to knock out. You're not going to knock everybody out. And like I said, you know, and I make a reference to this because, like I said, I mean, think about it. It took Quentin, I mean, it took Vanderlei. Vanderlei had to knee Quentin in the face 15 or 20 times to knock him out. Ain't nobody going to knock Quentin out with a punch. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to knock everybody out. But, you know, everybody's tough. You know, Terry Martin's tough. Chris Lieben's tough. They're all tough. We're all tough. You know what I'm saying? But all it takes is one mistake and you can be on your back. You know, Chuck knocks everybody out, but, you know, he ends up getting knocked out. So nobody's immune to that. You just want to go on there and do the best that you can, and hopefully you come out on top. And for me, you know, I'm mentally and physically prepared for what I need to do. And like I said, Terry Martin got caught with a punch, and he ended up getting knocked out, you know. But does that define his career? Does that make it, oh, he's this or that? No, I mean, it just, that's the beauty of MMA. Anybody and everybody can be knocked out at any time.
Marvin, the last time we saw you in the octagon, sorry to interrupt, but the last time we saw you in the octagon was against Quentin Jackson, Super Bowl weekend of last year, and you mentioned that you had this sort of UFC curse, 0-3, but I mean, you look at the guys that you fought in the octagon, Quentin Jackson, Travis Luter, Vitor Belfort. I mean, not exactly, a bunch of scrubs. Nevertheless, you have this big fight. Do you feel more, you know, some extra pressure, this fourth time around?
Hell no.
No?
I don't feel pressure, man. I don't feel no pressure, brother. Let me tell you something. I don't even know if it's that. I think it's a little bit bad luck, you know. When I first fought Vitor Belfort, had some mental issues, man, with the ex-girlfriend at the time that just was so overwhelming that I shouldn't have been in the cage in the first place, you know. So I caught a knee, and that's the game, you know. Vitor won. I fought Travis Luter. I was training with Tito, and I kept taking Tito down, and he did it, and he jumped guard and he kneed me in the face and it knocked me out. Because he was training for Guy Metzger. Got a concussion, went into the fight, fought Travis Luter and got hit with a ghost punch. A lot of people thought I took a dive. Hell, I'd never do that. I didn't make enough money for that fight to do that. And lost the fight, you know. he won the fight I lost. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, the good thing about it is he's 185, I'm 185. Oh, blame me. Only rematch that I've ever lost is to Quentin. You know what I'm saying? I ain't lost the rematch. So, you know, I get the opportunity to get at Luter again. And believe me, if I get the opportunity to fight Vitor again, most definitely, I won't have no mental issues this time. And, you know, shoot, me and Quentin fought. Hell, I won the first one. He won the second one, fair and square. It is what it is.
What's your contract situation like in the UFC? Can you talk about that?
Well, I'm right now at the point where we probably, you know, should renegotiate, because I got kind of caught up in a cross with the WFA garbage, and they kind of caught me with a garbage contract with the WFA because they bought them, so I was stuck. You know, I ended up having to make some pennies. You know, I made halfway decent money against Quentin, but I'm, you know, I'm getting some garbage money against this second fight simply because it reverts back to the WFA contract. So, you know, the good thing would be to get a nice win and try to renegotiate. I've been in this game a long time, you know what I'm saying, and fought some of the top, and, you know, I should be getting, you know, fairly decent money. You know, like I said, you know, you got guys that's coming in right now that's, you know, that's going to make a little, you know, a lot better money than I'm going to make for this fight, but it didn't have nothing to do with me negotiating. It had to do with me getting caught with a garbage contract from the WFA. So, you know, I hope to God that, you know, I don't expect nothing less than to win this fight and renegotiate. But, you know, in order to do that, you need to prove that you're worthy of the money that you're asking for. So, and I know I'm a veteran, an OG in this game, and I ain't lost a step. You know, like I said, but, you know, the bottom line is just, you know, you get, you know, in order to come in with some negotiation power, you need to come in with a win. So that's what I'm looking forward to, looking to get a win and renegotiate and try to make a splash at this, at 185. You know, they need some people to challenge, you know, Dan Henderson and Al Anderson Silva, and that's what I'm, you know, I think both of those guys are perfect for me.
Is this,
you know,
your final?
Dan, because he's a wrestler, huh?
Oh, sorry, I just wanted to ask if this was your final fight on that contract, though.
Is it?
Is this your final fight on that old contract?
Yeah, before we renegotiate, of course.
All right, so then, you know, I guess the situation is we'll see after the fight, and then you guys will talk about it.
Oh yeah, I mean, cause believe me, I mean, you don't not make sure that you got options. Believe me, I always got options, man. So, you know, my objective is to stay with the UFC, you know, and you know, but you need to prove that you're worthy of a nice contract and they want to keep you. You know what I'm saying? And believe me, I did everything they asked me to do. You know, they ain't never offered me a garbage fight ever. They ain't never gave me a gift ever.
Right.
You know, nobody ever fought ever. They ever gave me a gift. So, you know, so I did what I did. I haven't been hard to negotiate with. So, you know, we'll see what the deal is. But like I said, my objective is right now is just to obliterate my opponent and get this win and then go ahead and re-up and come at the rest of the guys. And I'm not looking past Terry Martin. I'm just looking for this win, and then everybody else. It's a stepping stone to get where I need to get, you know. But
very well said, Marvin. And, you know, like I said, a lot of big fights at UFC 81, and this is one that hopefully we'll get to see, because right now it's scheduled to be untelevised. But I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of fireworks, and hopefully we'll get to see it on the pay-per-view or on UFC.com. Best of luck against Terry, and then, you know, with all the contract stuff and for the rest of your career.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.